That's right, you got it. That's who we are, broadcasting live from Gypsy Hill in South East London on the run-up to the Sex Pistols, notorious Sex Pistols, one and only concert, apparently, in 2002. This is the 27th of July, Crystal Palace, London. So watch this space. So, on the run-up, I'm going to be playing you some of my favourite punk songs. We're going to have some guests in the studio. We're going to have some chats on the telephone. All sorts of wonderful stuff. So, stay tuned. And we're going to start you off with a brand new punk track. It's not even released yet, I don't think. It's on the Vagina label. And it's called Denial of a Goodman. See if you recognise this. Factory, here we go. Two. Johnny and the Sexless Pistols and a track called Factory. Okay, now the real McCoy. This is the Sex Pistols rare outtake. It's Submission. We'll be right back. There goes Sex Pistols. That's one of their early recordings, produced by Dave Goodman in July 76. This is possibly their first recording, produced by X Womble and Roxy Music guitarist Chris Spedding. And this was in May 76. It's from Majestic Studios. It's Problems. Alright, what are we going to play next? I think this is on the turntable here. Excuse me, I'll turn this over. It's a band. It's possibly. Well, oh, no, it's not. It's. Shit, okay, let's get this together. New Rose. First UK punk single.
Is she really going out with him?
We'll be right back.
what? What does it all mean? Brand New Rose.
Love.
Well, it might have been the first in the shops. And first in the charts, maybe. But it's not on my pedestal. Is that anyway? That came second, not that version of it. Or would have been recorded? No, that would have. Anyway, then would have been Buzzcocks with their Spiral Scratch EP, and then you would have got this is a B-side of the third ever UK punk single release by Ida on the label Records, and this is a B-side. It's called You. I'm gonna look, coming home. Eater. That's the B-side of Outside View. Young schoolboy band there. Let's move to the present now. This is a, you'll remember, two lights of pot, 2 points of lager and a packet of crisps, Mr. Max Lodge. Well, he's been going ever since those days, and he's done several albums recently, most funnily are two, and I'm going to play you one of my favourite tracks off of the one he did last year. I think I'm going to play you "My Socks Gone Down Inside My Shoe." Who can you turn to? What can you do when your socks gone down inside your shoe? This is Splodgeness Abound. Splodgeness Aboons. Two tracks there from their album, I Don't Know, that's what it's called, out on Ahoy CD. That's what it is, Ahoy CD 130. That's its matrix number if you want to buy it. We're going to treat you to the Sussex Pistols now. How about that for a treat? And their version of... What shall we have? Let me see. I can't decide now because it's on the CD. So you're going to get number four, whatever that is. Here it comes. Sussex Pistols. Get rid of that, but just, you know, it's one of the many Pistols covers bands. Let's try another one here. This album's called Sex Pistols Tribute. This is a Blaggers ITA doing their version of Submission.
Listen to their rock and rolls while we conduct missile drills. Make revolutions for 20 knots.
There you go, Blaggers ITA, and their version of Submission.
The Pirate Punk Rock Radio Show.
radio show, and we have our first live guest in the studio down here in Gypsy Hill. We're not supposed to tell you where we are, actually, but we have none other than a good old friend. He was a punk rocker, he was a mod, he was a raver, and still is, the inimitable Philip Strongman. Whoa, Phil, welcome to the show.
Thank you for that. I'd just like to say that I've got a few records here. Well, some of them are records, some of them are CDs, some of them are Shellac 78s, that I think will bring our listeners close to...
Vinyl.
Well, they need to be, yeah. It's got all that kind of hiss that is...
Great, we'll be looking forward to that. Before we get on to the music, cool. I'd like to just ask you a few questions about your... Well, one of your many novels... Well, no, you... Well, you've had a few books published, or...?
Yeah, odds and ends. Short stories and co-authoring things. But, I mean, the main novel was Cocaine, the music biz expose trip thing.
I read that, and I really enjoyed it, I must say. Very humorous, very funny, very prophetic. But seemed very true, I mean...
Well, yeah, that is a sign of the biz that has not gone away.
Was this based on true experience?
Well, it was based on observation. Because I've never been that much of a headbanger, you know, me. I've had,
what?
No, I've had the odd drink.
We'll be the judge of that.
And the,
some of the drinks are very odd indeed.
Yeah, very odd. But, no, it was just what you saw going on. And it was a thing of, like, you'd see great bands, great tracks, and you just couldn't work out why people wouldn't give them reviews or give them radio time. And then you began to see that that was part of the deal, was that people were giving out a lot of... favours and bribes and drugs. And
so you couldn't really mention any names?
No, I didn't want to get into a News of the World trip. I just wanted people to let people know that this is how it works.
And this was based on your experience when you were writing for Mojo?
I was writing
Q
for... at that time was Sounds Before It Went Under, then it was Vox magazine, Soul Underground, and also doing the odd music thing for Time Out, City Limits. So I kind of saw it from quite a few angles and saw... You know, how it works, and a lot of the time it's a very cynical thing that goes on.
We won't go into the ins and outs of the music business and their white line...
fever.
Yeah, but recommend that book, Cocaine. What's the publishers?
That is published by Little Brown Abacus. And it's still out there somewhere.
It's on the bestsellers list for a while. So, okay, so we're going to move on to the music. Now, what's the first track you brought along for us?
It is Malcolm McLaren. Wonderful man, a madman, but he made some... Well, he helped get some great scenes together, and he did a thing called Double Dutch, and I never thought I'd get into a record about people skipping in New York. What I did, and I think if you play it, you will too.
Okay, so here we go. Malcolm McLaren and Double Dutch.
All that scratch is making you itch. Well, Little She is making me itch too, I guarantee it.
I love it, dog.
Here's just a lot of superstar. He has something that he wants to most definitely tell you.
Little She.
Yeah.
How long have you been listening to the world's famous?
About 6 weeks.
6 weeks? Do you catch the 4 o'clock show as well?
You know that. All the shows, they come on late at night.
How do you manage to stay at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Too much of that sun right.
Jump, kudos, all my friends.
Right, well, I see the next record you've brought along for us, again, a bit of vinyl here, is from one of my all-time favourite bands, The Kinks. Now, what made you choose this record?
Well, the thing about David Watts is, like, one, it's a nice little tune, and I think that's why Paul Weller and the Jam covered it a few years later, after it came out. But also the fact it's one of those things, like, everyone in school, college, primary school, whatever, has always known someone their parents have said about, why can't you be more like David Watts? You know, he's just, you know, he's got the three-piece suit, he's a nice lad, everyone likes him. You know, and that whole trip was like, you're never quite good enough, and I think that record captures it really well.
He's a guy you love to hate, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it for
boom, boom, David Watts.
Nice and smooth.
So we've got Phil Strongman in the studio, live interviewer, author of the book Cocaine, and, well, new age entrepreneur, new age
journalist and raconteur and wit, it says here.
It says there. Well, we'll be the judge of that, Philip. Now, notice the next band that you're going to brought along, the record that you're going to play that's on the turntable there, is another band that are very much like the Buzzcocks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're very seminal in the early birth of the punk music. You'll explain that a bit later, but they were the first band that really formed in Manchester, along with Slaughter and the Dogs, and they helped organise those early Sex Pistols gigs up in Manchester at the Lesser Free Trade Hall.
Yeah. They did all that, and I think the great thing about Pete Shelley, Howard DeBoe, the Buzzcocks, Steve Digger, all of that, was they did it. And they did it
And
fast.
They're still doing it.
And they're still doing it. And it's like part of the thing that goes on. They made some classic sort of punk pop singles that are still valid. But they came all the way from Manchester to see the band when Dave Goodman was mixing the Pistols live, and it was a serious deal before young Sydney joined. It was a racket to hear. It was a great racket. I mean, I heard it myself a few times, and they just went off and just made a band and did that thing in Manchester that was essentially the birth of the Manchester scene. Because when that first gig happened that the Buzzcocks organised, Pete Hook came along and loved the noise, and everyone, No, Joy Division, New Order. I mean, Mick Hucknall was there. Tony Wilson.
A lot of
the underguy. Yeah, changed.
A lot of people Manchester. Were inspired, weren't they, from that? And they went on to do their thing and formed a whole movement. They really did. Now, do you think they just, read some review, little review about the Pistols?
Well,
and
that's the legend. They just saw a thing about this band and came south to High Wycombe. And I think they caught one of the early 100 Club dates. And just in those days, it was, a mind blast. And there was nothing like it at the time. They went back and just said, we want this band to play up here. So when Malcolm encouraged them, they went for it. And by the time the second Manchester gig happened, they were doing it themselves. At the same time as The Clash, because Strummer had been doing that. It's been in 101ers when, again, Lord Goodman had mixed the sound at the Nashville, and that had been a mind blast for him. He'd left the 101ers and started The Clash. But I think they were gigging at the same time. So, hats off to the Buzzcocks. They were 100 miles away, but they got in at the same time.
So the track you've chosen, I see, is Boredom, which has got to have one of the most simple guitar solos, but effective. Just one note all the way through
it's not The Clash, it's not The Pistols, it's not The Ramones, but it is the ultimate punk guitar solo. Two notes, played very well, perfect timing, two notes, but great notes.
Yeah.
And they do it, and it works.
And they were very quick off the mark with this release, weren't they? Where does this fit into
Spiral Scratch was like, the first four punk records were, no particular order, but New Rose were down.
We had that earlier.
Pistols, Anarchy in the UK, Spiral Scratch, Eater Outside View. They were the first four in the world, really, of what really was punk rock. And so, again, they were not in London. They were a long way away. Hats off to them.
Put it out on their own New Hormones label?
Yeah, it was, again, in a way, one of the very first indie things. And it worked.
And they showed... anyone can do it. Just get a few bob together, get your mates together, get 1,000 records, sell some more, and the rest is history.
It kicked off a whole northern rock and roll scene that had been dying.
I'm dying to hear it, so you introduce it.
The Buzzcocks, Boredom, It Is Not Boring.
I'm going to try.
Right, so, Phil, I see you've got a bit of reggae coming up here, a bit of reggae vinyl. I love reggae myself, as you know. Now, when did you first get into reggae? Was it before punk, or was it because of punk?
It was like it was when I was very young, it was like that period 69-70 when, well, I was young, and Desmond Dekker, Israelites, and those 007 things like that were cutting through.
Bit of Scar, Blue Beatty stuff,
all of that, and Prince Buster and that.
Great
and,
club music. Were you hearing it in the clubs?
I was hearing it. It's sad to say, but it was the school disco. But they used to play a bit of that. It was a weird then. Cause
now, wrong with school disco, lads.
Bloody nothing wrong with school. But the whole thing that you'd hear everything from Dark Side of the Moon to reggae to Medicine Head to whatever the top five was that week in those places. I mean, that's why all those school, you know, those clubs called school disco, school fields are doing so well now.
They did you used to dance to the reggae?
Yeah, used to do the kind of shuffle that, like, you know, I saw Don Letts perfect and thought, yeah.
Oh, could you give an example now?
Yeah, I'm doing it now, you know.
Oh, that's very brilliant. Now, we're on radio, you can't see this, but it's absolutely amazing.
Too many pictures for television.
Who have you got for us?
There is a reggae thing that I've only played a few times before, and I just saw it on a sideboard recently, and I grabbed it. Ken Booth, who did Everything I Own, which Boy George had a big hit with a few years ago, and he did a great version of the Bob Marley, Eric Clapton thing, I Shot the Sheriff, and it's great, because it's reggae, but it's very soulful, and...
So who did the original?
Bob Marley wrote it. He said, I wanted to write I Shot the Police, because the police in Jamaica then were quite full-on and a bit hard on anyone that was a bit raster and a bit different. But he just realised he would never get on radio if he called it I Shot the Police, so he called it I Shot the Sheriff. Make it sound like a cowboy trip. Country and Western used to hear a lot in Jamaica, coming home from Texas. And it was a great record, and Eric Clapton took it in the top 20, which made him a bit of money, but it also pushed reggae and Marley into the public eye. And Ken Booth's version is great. It's old. I mean, just to hear it.
Well, let's spin it. Here we go. Ken Booth and I Shot the Sheriff.
I shot the sheriff.
was Ken Booth, I Shot the Sheriff. So, Phil, you brought along some brilliant music here, scratches and all. It's really great. Thanks, mate. I definitely want to get you back on the show.
I'd love to come back.
You will be. Now, what are you up to at the moment, then?
Well, I've got a book on Japan half finished. I've got a novel half finished. There's a short story thing.
What's the Japan thing? Is it a travel guide or what?
No, it is fiction, but it's also got a load of old herbal Japanese medicine, which is incredible, which I've seen help people, save people's lives.
That's right, because your wife, Masiko, she's from Japan, isn't she?
She's steeped in all that, and it is a way of doing medicine that is amazing. That people will get come back round to because it's simple. It's ginger, it's potatoes. It's just basic.
I've seen it. I've often rang her up for a quick remedy, and it does work.
Yeah, it's true. It's there, and it's just the world will. I mean, Japan itself is forgetting it a bit because they're getting much more into the instant chemical hit. But it's a way of dealing with things that will come back into vogue and is.
So in a way, your book is like a Westerner, seeing what's good about it and preserving it for the future and making people aware of it.
To quote the classic Eater single, the third punk one ever, it's an outside view, but it's very valid.
Okay. And apart from, you was telling me about the next book, the Japanese book, and what else?
Yeah, there's a short story thing. There's a guy who's about to start doing these chocolate machines on the tube. So they're putting out chocolate on the underground in London. They're going to be putting out little books of short stories for people to read. Between tube stops, and this guy, Matt Smith, has asked me to do a few, so that'll be interesting, because he's very into rock and roll stories, and he's another sort of person that's like read the cocaine music expose book, so that'll be fun, and hopefully people will catch up with that at some point.
All right, and you managing any new bands at the moment?
Well, there's a group called Profumo that I think people should hear.
Yeah.
They're good. They're kind of Blondie meets The Clash meets The Saints. And that kind of energy with the Hives and the Vibes and all those groups.
Who's in the band? Anyone we would have heard of?
Nick Austin. He used to tour with Chelsea when he was a teenager.
Oh, Chelsea, yeah. We're going to have them on the show.
And he, as you know, is a great guitarist. And there's a couple of people that are good. They're a good band. Very good band.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe we'll hear from them later. Now, just to wind up, really, I mean, is there any message to the world at large, to the public, that you'd like to say?
All you can ever say, I think, to people is just be mellow in a kind of energetic way. I mean, respect. Respect each other. Love, man.
Okay. Yeah, the big R, respect. Okay, well, look, thanks very much. Phil Strongman.
Thank you for the mic and the drink.
Author. And...
raconteur.
Yeah. And new wave entrepreneur.
And I will return.
Okay.
Cheers, Captain.
Cheers. This is the new age. Oh, no, it's not. It's pirate punk rock radio show broadcasting live from Gypsy Hill.